You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Look, I'm not going to try your patience this morning. There is a word from God on this Palm Sunday, and this word comes from two scriptures. I rarely do this, but this is how God led me to construct this sermon. So the first scripture is going to be Matthew, the 21st chapter. We're going to be lifting up verses 8 through 11. That's Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 8 through 11. And I want you to also put a pen or put a bookmark at Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Now, I will be reading from the New International Version, and the Bible reads like this. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now let's go ahead and hop over to Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Here it says, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Let's pray. Sovereign God, we come to you right now always saying thank you. We thank you, God, for the provisions that you have made. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. God, we thank you for getting us to this place called Spirit of Unity Baptist Church. And now, God, as we're in this place, we hope that our minds are open and our hearts are open and our ears are open to hear and receive a word from you on this day. We're trusting, God, that you will have thine own way with this word, but also have thine own way with our earthen vessels. As I stand behind the sacred desk, I realize, God, that I cannot do this preaching assignment by myself. And so, God, I lean on you. God, I depend on you. God, I'm asking and pleading that you hide me behind the cross so that I am not the centerpiece nor the focus. God, I need you to take full control right now, even to the point that if there's any mess in my mortal flesh, that it will not stand in the way of the miraculous possibilities that you will have through your word. And so simply put, God, I just simply say, have thine own way right now in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. You may be seated in the house. You may be seated in the house. Matthew 21, verses 8 through 11. Matthew 27, verses 22 and 23. I want to tag this text this morning. Don't flunk your kingdom assignment. Don't flunk your kingdom assignment. Don't flunk your kingdom assignment. Look, I need you to quickly turn to a neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't flunk your kingdom journey. Excuse me, I didn't mean assignment. I meant journey. Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, it'll all work together. It'll all work together. Don't flunk your kingdom journey. I need you to find somebody else. And yes, I mean, find someone that you didn't greet, didn't smile at. I need you to find someone you didn't come here with. And I need you to tell them, neighbor, don't flunk your kingdom journey. Now, I need you to find someone else that you may have beef with. I want you to locate that person or persons if you got beef with them, because we believe here at Spirit of Unity Baptist Church that we're going to take that beef, cook it, grill it, and eat it, because it's something that's not going to exist in this place or in our daily walk. Hey, did you find that person? Good. I'm glad you found that person. Now, I need you to tell them, neighbor, look, neighbor, I know we got beef, but don't flunk your kingdom journey. Oh, amen. Go ahead and praise God in this place. Yeah, because no one is getting left behind. Don't flunk your kingdom journey. Don't flunk your kingdom journey. Look, check this out, family. Dr. Stephen Garber once said in his article, it is always possible to get all A's and still flunk life for every one of us. I'm going to say that again, because I thought that thing was so relevant. It is always possible to get all A's and still flunk life for every one of us. This quote resonated with me, and I imagine you all too, because we can relate to this statement to some degree. Although many of us never received straight A's, we have respectfully passed classes or did well on various exams. However, this declaration that it is always possible to get all A's and still flunk life for every one of us exposes something unsettling, which is we know the right things, which is we may even know how to say the right things and have unbelievable wells of knowledge about various subject matters. But there is no manifestation of what we know. In other words, there are some people who are intellectually capable of getting straight A's, you know, getting that 4.0, but may not excel at doing life. They got the smarts, but it won't translate to actually doing life. Not with me? Okay, let me put it another way. Some people who can master their course, master the academic rigor of any institution or material, and know all the answers to Jeopardy quizzes, but they still are not able to master doing life or living life the right way. In fact, I believe it is a struggle for us all. Everyone in the pulpit to every last person in the pew, and not only every last person in the pew, but also those watching us on Facebook or in the fellowship hall. Flunking is not reduced to school alone, because we can flunk at other things as well. We can flunk at work. In fact, I have known people to interview well, say the right things, present themselves in the right way, but when it comes to taking on the task, they fail miserably. We also can flunk at friendships. We may think we have a good sense of who a good friend is, but sometimes some folk surprise us and do some sneak attacks, and then we have to question our ability to select friends. Oh, I'm coming down even the marriage corridor. Even in our marriages, there are times that we don't succeed all the time. There are times things may not go well, but also we must understand that we don't have to live in failure always. Let me keep on driving down your neighborhood. Maybe if it's not school, maybe if it's not work or friendships or marriages, maybe it's finances. Well, I learned how to put a budget together. I passed that class, but somehow every time I get money in my hand, it just disappears instead of going into the savings account. Oh, you're not with me. Maybe it's the fact that I tried to set up a goal and I had every intention of finishing this, but now it's in the closet of incomplete. And the list can keep going on and on and on. So I got to thinking about what a commentator mentioned, where he says, where this commentator mentions one social psychologist said of university students is also true of the kingdom. And when he mentions the kingdom, he's referencing the kingdom of God, God's children journeying in their walk in the kingdom of God. He says, it is possible to make an A plus in the course on ethics and still flunk life. And that's interesting because I know what it means to be ethical. I understand what it means to do the right thing. But translating ethics in real life is just hard for some folk. Oh, you're not with me this morning. You're not with me this morning. You think everybody is honest. You think everybody is good. You think everybody is on your side. You think everybody is doing the right thing at the right time, at all times. Did you think you woke up doing the right thing? Some of y'all woke up, hit your toe, and cussed. Some of y'all still cussing somebody out from last week. Some of y'all still cussing somebody out from 2 years ago. Some of y'all still want to put your hands on the person that did you wrong 5 years ago. And I stopped by to let somebody know that you got to understand that you can't live in the past. You can't let those things rule you. We all have done dirt. We all have done wrong. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all made the A in class, but we failed at doing life. Y'all better sit down in here on Palm Sunday. You're making me nervous in this place, and I've been preaching here for a while. Y'all making me a little bit nervous. Yes, it is possible to get straight A's and still flunk life. Not just for some people, but for every one of us. And it is possible to get all A's and still flunk life for every one of us, because we may not be fully committed to making the necessary alterations to do life or be successful at life. That was so good. I'm going to say it again. I will. It is always possible to get all A's and still flunk life for every one of us, because we may not fully be committed to making the necessary alterations to do life or be successful at life. And however that thing hits you, the good news is that the Bible says in Psalms 118:25, save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. For those who follow Jesus, for those who give their life to the Lord, then success has a different meaning to us. It means that we want the Lord to give us salvation. Don't flunk your kingdom journey. It means that we are not only hearers of the word, but we're also doers of the word. Don't flunk your kingdom journey. It means that success is not achieved by my hands or your hands, but the mighty hands of God, which turned chaos into creation and turned dirt into a fleshly body. God is a God who not only spoke things into existence, but God is a God that did something to facilitate change. And so if God can say it, then do it. What's our problem this morning? Because we are people that just love to talk about it, but we never want to do anything to facilitate change in the church, in our lives, in our families, all about somebody else's family, but you can't even change your family. How about you start staying in your own business and be about your Father's business and continue to trust that God will help you. So if we want to be successful in life, who wants to be successful in life? I'm the pastor and I want to be successful in life. How can we prevent flunking our kingdom journey? That's right, baby. If we want to be successful in life, then how can we prevent flunking our kingdom journey? I'm just going to put a plug. Well, no, I'm going to get to that because I don't know which baby it's talking, but the baby just reminded me of something, but I'm going to keep going. We can prevent flunking our kingdom journey by making an exclamation. We can prevent our kingdom journey by making an exclamation. Look here, family, in our text today, Jesus and his disciples approach Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is the holy city. The Bible said that they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. It is here that Jesus gives two disciples instructions to go to a village and locate a donkey along with her colt. He tells them to untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them. Now, this happened because it fulfills Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, where it says, say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples did as they were told and brought the donkey along with her colt. Jesus rides into Jerusalem, which we know as the triumphal entry. Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and as he rides on the donkey, the crowd of people lay down cloaks and branches from trees on the road. Well, we know from other gospel writings that the branches that they cut down are palm tree branches. And as all this is going on, the Bible tells us that the crowds went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna. Somebody shout, Hosanna. Hosanna. Yeah. The crowds that followed him shouted, Hosanna. Now, there it is, family. There it is, Spirit of Unity. They shouted Hosanna. In other words, they made an exclamation of praise. Exclamation simply means making a sudden cry or remark. In many cases, a sudden cry. Babies can make a sudden cry. I'm not going to say babies make a sudden remark, but at their infancy, they make a sudden cry. They may respond to something they hear. They may respond to something that's being done. Isn't it interesting that babies naturally know when to cry out? Isn't it interesting that they don't sit down and bite their tongue? If they're going to cry, they're going to cry. If they're going to cry and say something, they're going to say something. But it's always in response to something. I'm telling you right now that as Christian disciples, we ought to continue to cry out Hosanna to the Lord. Why is that, Pastor? Well, the Lord did something for you. Not only said something to you, but did something for me and did something for you. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. Yeah, there. The Lord woke you up. The Lord started you on a brand new day. The Lord gave you hope and strength. The Lord helped you through school. The Lord helped you in life. The Lord did when you didn't want to do for yourself. And so naturally, we should shout unto the Lord. And so we find in this text that this exclamation, this sudden cry or remark that was made, the remark that was made in this biblical context is the fact that they shouted, Minister Freddie, Hosanna. Everybody say Hosanna. Hosanna. No, I need you to shout it like you mean it. Hosanna. I need you to shout it like you need it. Yeah. This, the people cried Hosanna. And they cried Hosanna, and most people today would take it as a common phrase of praise, all right? But this was just more than a phrase of praise. Hosanna simply means, in the Hebrew language, save or deliver us. Therefore, when the crowds make a sudden cry, they cry out Hosanna, which means save or deliver us. We can prevent flunking our kingdom journey by making an exclamation of praise to Jesus and ask him to save or deliver us. Saying helps, saying helping us or saying this can help us to acknowledge the fact that we need help. Saying Hosanna helps us to acknowledge the fact that, hey, I'm in trouble. Saying Hosanna acknowledges the fact that I have fallen down and I can't get up by myself. How many of you have ever been in a heavy moment, have been in a hard moment, and you fell down? You didn't feel like you could get back up, thought that you failed at life so bad that you couldn't recover. And these people remind us that when you fall, when you fail, when you flunk, that there is room to just shout out, Hosanna! No. Hosanna is just not the highest praise, but Hosanna is your life alert signal to Jesus that you need some help. If you want to be successful in life, then how can we prevent flunking our kingdom journey? Well, we just talked about the fact that we can make an exclamation of praise. But we can prevent flunking our kingdom journey by making an acclamation. Somebody say acclamation. The text says it like this in verse 9. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, according to Oxford Dictionary, an acclamation means a loud and enthusiastic approval, typically to welcome or honor someone or something. Now, their enthusiastic approval did two things here in this text. It rightly identified who Jesus is and opened the door for transformation. I'm going to say it again because this is worthy to note, it's worthy to write down, and it's worthy to remember. Their enthusiastic approval, their acclamation did two things. It rightly identified who Jesus is and opened the door for transformation. The expectation of the crowd's acclamation about Jesus should have led them to transformation. They acclaim Jesus is a prophet. They acclaim that he is the Son of David. They were not wrong about who Jesus is. In fact, the crowd uses the right language about Jesus. However, as the crowd said the right things about Jesus, ultimately the people don't make the necessary alterations to live out the truth about Jesus. In other words, the Matthean crowd cried out Hosanna to the Son of David. This same crowd who considered Jesus to be their long-awaited king from the Davidic line, who will deliver them from Roman rule, Roman oppression, and Roman brutality. These same folk who are the same folk that one commentator said will finally fail and shout, crucify him. You know, the same people that ended up saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, are the same people that are going to end up saying, crucify him. Now, Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 22 and 23 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name, perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. What is it trying to tell us? Well, we can have all the theological reflections, but if our reflections are not reflecting Jesus that we are proclaiming, then we are flunking at our kingdom journey. Oh, you don't get it. Okay. Well, if you keep on quoting Bible scriptures, but treating people like trash, then you are flunking at your kingdom journey. Oh, you don't understand that. Well, if you out here studying the word, going to church every Sunday, if you're going to Bible study every Wednesday, if you're participating on the choir, or if you're an usher, but if you're continuing to use the word, say the word, quote the word, memorize the word, but if the word ain't changing you, then you are flunking at your kingdom journey. You ain't out here just to be hearers of the word, but you're also out here to be doers of the word. I wish somebody would talk to me right now. Have you ever been there when you talked about Jesus? You tried to say this about Jesus. I'm living right. I'm the best Christian that I can be. I go to church every day. I love quoting John 3:16, and I love saying, look up to the hills from which cometh my help. But looking up to the hills, saying that you look up to the hills, don't matter if you can't get down on bended knees and look up and ask God for some help. Then we are flunking at our kingdom journey because we love to talk about our reflections. We love to quote our scriptures. But if we don't allow those scriptures to produce a change in us, then all we're doing is walking around as hypocrites. Yeah, yeah. We find in this text that, and I'm trying, you feel like you're getting help this morning? Yeah. If you're going to really lead a successful life, then the life you lead ought to be a life filled with making an exclamation and acclamation. Your acclamation rightly identifies who Jesus is. These people, you know, they start off doing the right thing. Isn't it interesting that folk that give their life to the Lord, there are some people who start off wanting to do the right thing, and I don't want to dismiss that at all. But somewhere in the journey, it just ends up with words. And we find that we serve a God who is a doer. We serve a God of action. And this God of action demands or requests for us to be people and followers of action as well. That whatever I quote, whatever I read from scripture, that I must apply it to my life and try to live out my life the best way that I can be or do. And so it's not enough, as Jesus declares, it's not enough just to walk around saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, I know there's power in the name of Jesus, and I'm not saying you shouldn't cry out for Jesus, but what I am saying is that you got some folk that just want to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name by saying your name, saying this, and all you're doing is saying it and not have a relationship with Jesus. Now, Now, having a relationship with Jesus says that I can identify Jesus for who he is. And because he's rightly identified, then his identification will motivate me towards transformation. In other words, because I know who Jesus is, I can't possibly live my life like I used to. Some of y'all just holding on to the seat saying, I'm determined that I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to shout out. I'm not going to say Hosanna. Maybe I am down your corner. Maybe I'm on your block. Maybe I'm right there in your face. And you have to face a reality that, yes, I am the one that talk about it but not live it. Maybe I am the one that keep on saying it and proclaiming it but not applying it to my life. And maybe I am the one that needs to change. Instead of you walking around asking everybody else to change, telling them why they should change and what the scriptures say about change, how about you take your butt to the mirror and tell yourself, I need to change. I need to change because I'm tired of taking these drugs. I need to change because I'm tired of being a liar. I need to change because I'm tired of always making mishaps. I need to change because flunking ain't good on me. I need to change because I want to serve God and give God my best. I want to change. I'm just talking to myself. I want to change because I can do what God needs me to do in such a time like this. I need to change because if I don't change, then I'm always going to live life in chaos and frustration. But if you're committed to the word, then you're committed to change. And if you're committed to change, then that's when you will access the peace of God and the victory that God has for you. Somebody high five their neighbor and say, I want to be changed. I want to be changed. Look, if you want to be successful in life, then we talked about the fact that we all need to make an exclamation of praise. Then we also had a discussion about making an acclamation, and in our acclamation leads us to identification and also transformation. But there's one more thing we got to do if we are going to have success in our kingdom journey. We can prevent flunking our kingdom journey by avoiding rejection. This is the tough one. We can prevent flunking our kingdom journey by avoiding rejection. Look, the text says it like this now in Matthew. Look, you can flip over to Matthew 27, verses 23, 22 and 23. Text says, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. If we are going to prevent flunking our kingdom journey, then we need to avoid rejection. Rejection of who? Rejection of Jesus. The people started out saying the right thing, and they end up saying the wrong thing. And sometimes we end up saying the wrong thing because in the middle of our journey, we refused to change. And because we refuse to change, when we are in the heat of the moment, when we are being persecuted, or when we are before our friends that are living a way that is opposite of God's word, when we find ourselves following the world, following our friends, and following the crowd, we end up rejecting Jesus. Have you ever been there before? I can remember a time when I was growing up and I was in high school. And you know, I mean, a lot of us, we went to church, but it wasn't always cool to talk about Jesus when you were at school or when you went to a party or when you went to other places where maybe Jesus shouldn't come up at all. And as you reflect on those moments, like I reflect on this moment, there were moments that you could have said no to this drug, no to this drink, or just no to the fact that I want to respect the temple that God gave me. And we find ourselves, instead of avoiding rejection, instead of avoiding the rejection of Jesus, we follow the crowd. How many people have been guilty of following the crowd? Yeah, there shouldn't be a hand that is down. We all have followed the crowd. We all have followed the crowd when things were going good, but it is here at this moment that things are not so good. We reflect on the fact that as Jesus is standing there and they having a selection between him and Barabbas, the people chose Barabbas over Jesus. Now, in my mind, I know that Jesus is far more innocent than Barabbas, but the crowd decided that the popular thing to do is go along with Barabbas. And I just want you to know right now that if you're going to be successful in life, stop following people that don't have clear direction for your life. Stop following people who are clearly not where you want to be. Barabbas is in jail. Barabbas is not as innocent as Jesus, but the people want to go along with what's popular. Everything that's popular ain't going to save you. Everything that's popular ain't going to help you. Everything and everyone who's popular ain't going to help you, lift you up, and give you hope for a better future. They should have selected Jesus, but instead they rejected the stone who in the, they rejected the stone. They rejected the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. And this is a shame, because if we can only avoid the temptation to reject Jesus, then we have a chance to continue to walk this walk with strength and might. Bible reminds us that we ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there might be moments we said, Hosanna, Hosanna. But you know how we do. You know how folk do when things go wrong. Folk disappear. Folk start denying who they know or who they associate with. Yeah, we got some Peters. And Deb, that's not a jab at you, because I know sometimes I say you my Peter. But my Peter in defense of me, because I believe Deb would cut somebody if they hurt me. Y'all don't have to clap. That's just my praise moment for me. I know she got my back. But there are moments where we can be a Peter, where when things go wrong and we're standing around with other folk and folks say, hey, aren't you Jesus' homeboy? Nah, it ain't me. And then people keep on identifying you with Jesus because you walked with Jesus and you talked about Jesus and you were about, weren't you that one that cut off the ear of a guard for Jesus? No, that wasn't me. I want you to know that when it gets hot, when it gets hectic, when it gets hard, those are moments not to reject Jesus, but accept Jesus and draw yourself closer to Jesus, because the Bible says that God will never leave nor forsake you. And we got folk forsaking and leaving Jesus when Jesus never left you and I. Somebody ought to have been shouting right there. Why? Because when other people leave you based off how they identify you, Jesus says, regardless of how you are identified in the eyes of others, I will not reject you. And so we find ourselves in this moment understanding the fact that if we are going to prevent flunking out on our kingdom journey, then we must make an exclamation. We also must make an acclamation, but also we're taught to avoid rejection. And if we avoid the rejection and the temptation of crucify him, then we can find ourselves walking down a path of being a person who is unashamed of Jesus. But you know, the Bible does tell us that whatever bad thing happens, Jackie, that God will always work it out for the good. So let's entertain. We don't even have to entertain the idea. The fact of the matter is, when they shouted Hosanna, their shout of Hosanna transformed into a shout of crucify him. And because crucifixion at this moment was popular towards Jesus, everybody was just shouting, crucify him. One person who said, Hosanna, they said, nah, change it. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then it caught on like wildfire. And what's sad is that they did crucify Jesus. They crucified an innocent man. But the Bible tells me that no man will take Jesus's life. And so Jesus informs us that he willingly went to Calvary's cross. There's not too many folk in here that will willingly go to the cross for you, that will willingly get nailed to a cross for you, that will be willingly to hang up there and let blood drench from their body. Not too many people will do that. Bible tells us that Jesus was up there, even called for forgiveness for all those that went from a Hosanna to a crucify him. Don't you understand that some folk out here will go from a Hosanna to a crucify him from 0 to 100 in a hot second or minute? Some folk ain't loyal, some folk ain't faithful, but aren't you glad that Jesus was faithful to the task? And so as he was being crucified, as he hung up on the cross, Jesus even forgave us on the cross. And while blood was dripping from his mutilated body, that blood, oh, that powerful blood that has the power to wash away all of our sins. Yeah, that blood that's more powerful than Clorox. The blood that's more powerful than Lysol wipes. That blood that's more powerful than 409. And yes, even the blood that's more powerful than that cleaner called Shout. Because the blood of Jesus will make you shout. The blood of Jesus will give you hope. The blood of Jesus will make you right. The blood of Jesus will help you live right. The blood of Jesus will help you walk right. The blood of Jesus will help you talk right. The blood of Jesus will help you live right. The blood of Jesus will help you pass the test. The blood of Jesus will help you transform your failure into victory. And if you are looking for some victory, then remember that, yes, he died, but the Bible says that he rose up in 3 days, claiming all power in his hands. And because he lives, I can live. Because he lives, I have hope. Because he lives, I can prevent flunking on my kingdom journey. Stand to your feet.